NASA and the world, I'm John Batchelor. 2 years later, after the abandonment, the withdrawal, the departure from Afghanistan, Bill Raggio and Hossein Haqqani are here to measure the tempest in Afghanistan that is very difficult to see because the Taliban government is not transparent. However, Bill, I come to a Voice of America piece that was good to see because it's consistent with the reporting you have done for years. 2 years after the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan, writes the Voice of America, there is growing consensus that the country is again devolving into a hotbed of terrorism activity that is already beginning to affect the region, if not yet capable of reaching the West. That's a very carefully constructed paragraph, Bill. Please translate. What's happening inside?
Yeah, John, so I would disagree that on the devolving part, because Afghanistan devolved years and years ago. During the Taliban's insurgency, it was sheltering Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups, movement of the Taliban in Pakistan. And I could go on and on with the regional terror groups that was being sheltered by the Taliban in areas they controlled in Afghanistan, even while the U.S. and NATO was present in Afghanistan. So to say that it's devolved, I would disagree with that. What has happened, I would say it's evolved. With the Taliban takeover of the country, it has access to more resources. It has free range to put Al-Qaeda and put training camps for Al-Qaeda wherever they want. For instance, when the United Nations Analytical Support and Sanctions Monitoring Team, they issued a report in early June, it noted that Al-Qaeda was operating in camps in the West, in the South. In central Afghanistan, in northern Afghanistan, in eastern Afghanistan. That's how this terrorist threat has evolved. What you get, I think that was a very good article by Voice of America, but I guess I get a little bit miffed, if we may say, with the framing of these articles. And that what you're getting there a lot of times is this is what intelligence officials or government officials are saying. It's sort of a CYA maneuver to say, well, it wasn't like this, but it's evolved into this or it's devolved into this. But the reality is it's really been this way all along. And we should have seen this coming. John, you and I and Hussein and a select few others have been on the forefront of talking about this before it was happening and as it was happening. And it seems like some people are finally coming around, but it's too little and too late because the U.S. will not be going back into Afghanistan anytime soon.
The United Nations Sanctions Monitoring Team reported this in June, but also in this report is the understanding that the terrorism centers, and you have a map we will discuss, are rising in capability for transnational action. Is that your measure, Bill? They're getting stronger, and that means in order to increase their footprint, they will attack transnationally.
I mean, I agree with that. What I suspect is, and I think what has been happening so far, is Al-Qaeda, particularly, that's the transnational threat. The regional threat is groups like Movement of Taliban in Pakistan, Turkestan Islamic Party, which is a threat to China, Islamic Movement in Uzbekistan, some of these other groups. That's on the Taliban Al-Qaeda side of the aisle. The Islamic State, that's a different animal because this is part of the problem, right? These groups are all conflated as being one thing. The Islamic State and the Taliban are enemies. So, but on the Al-Qaeda Taliban side of the aisle here, they're not going to conduct any external attacks that are going to be traced back to Afghanistan, and because they like the fact that the Taliban controls Afghanistan. I think and this is the UN assessment as well, is there's an agreement between the groups to, keep a lid on things as the Taliban consolidates power. The Islamic State, that's a different animal. All it's been able to project threats is a couple of attacks in Pakistan, a couple of one-off attacks in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. The UN report is clear that they're gaining capacity to do X, and there's some things going on where they're supporting external. But Al-Qaeda is doing that same sort of thing, too. To me, it's the capacity that's being built inside of Afghanistan that it isn't today. It isn't tomorrow. May not even be next year. But keep in mind, from the first World Trade, from the formation of Al-Qaeda to the first World Trade Center attacks to 9/11 was at least what? 11 years, 12 years. Al-Qaeda plays a long game. We think in terms of election cycles. Al-Qaeda thinks in terms of decades and generations. And we got 9/11 because we thought in terms of election cycles, and Al-Qaeda was able to achieve 9/11 because it thought in terms of decades.
Mr. Ambassador, we have a couple of minutes. This report from the Voice of America also says that Pakistan points to a surge of terrorism-related deaths in order to demonstrate that Afghanistan remains dangerous. What is the Army's position of those cross-border attacks? Does that strengthen its hand or weaken its hand as it moves to impose its order on Pakistan?
I think that Pakistan's military is able to tell the Pakistanis that all terrorist threats are of a military nature and that they should have a freer hand in dealing with them. But unfortunately, they also politicize it. So, for example, some of the opposition figures are also accused of terrorism crimes when they have nothing to do with terrorism. I think Pakistan has yet to have a comprehensive strategy in dealing with jihadi terrorism, which is what Al-Qaeda represents, ISIS represents, and even the Pakistani Taliban represent. And their attitude is still outdated. They still want to make a distinction between various groups. They think certain groups are Pakistan's allies because they will eventually end up targeting India or help Pakistan have greater influence in Afghanistan or Central Asia. And they think that those groups that strike Pakistani targets inside Pakistan are the terrorists that they need to deal with. Unfortunately, the groups don't make that distinction. They help each other. That is why we found bin Laden in Pakistan when he was eventually found in 2011. But Pakistan has not changed that policy. And so for Pakistan's rulers, especially the military and the intelligence services, there are still some terrorists that can be dealt with, and some terrorists that must be eliminated.
And does that mean that the Islamabad tolerates Kabul, that it's not really moving in any fashion to undermine Kabul? We have a few minutes. I have a few moments.
Islamabad seems to have no option right now because of the problems it has created for itself. Right. The whole idea of supporting the Taliban for so many years for Pakistan was Pakistan did not want Indian influence in Afghanistan after the Americans left. And so they undermined the American presence, they undermined the Republican government. They thought that every non-Taliban, non-Islamist force in Afghanistan was likely to be more aligned with India than with Pakistan. Basically, Pakistan needs to get out of this very simplistic paradigm of everything being based on what's good for India must be good for Pakistan, what's bad for India is good for Pakistan. But they haven't done that. So Islamabad is not being able to control Afghanistan, and yet it has no choice but to continue to work with the regime it has helped bring to power in Afghanistan.
Hossein Akane, Bill Raggio, I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.